The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
And good morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Think and Grow Rich Mastermind. My name is Dr. Peter James. I want to welcome you on this Saturday morning, whenever you are listening to this phenomenal show that dives into Think and Grow Rich from the illustrious author Napoleon Hill. I am joined today, of course, by our co-host, Ursula Galen and Anne. I'm not going to go into details on them just yet, of course, but I want to tell you a little bit about our show, of course. This Think and Grow Rich Mastermind is part of the International Mastermind Association show. If you would like to be a part of this show, first and foremost, please dial in at 661-554-9219. Hit prompt number one. We meet here every Saturday morning and explore and the success formula as described by this book, Think and Grow Rich. Today is a very special show. Of course, it is the holiday season, but with the holidays, we brought in the heat. We brought in Dr. Catherine Woodhouse, who is an Atlanta-based physician. She's a triple board-certified physician in internal medicine, pediatrics, and bariatric medicine, of course. So along with my co-host, Anne McNeil, as I mentioned earlier, Ursula Odom and Galen Bingham. Pagin is not here today, but we want to honor her, of course. And I'm just so, so excited to be here, of course. So let me just go into, just dive first and foremost into our distinguished co-host. So I'm going to get this kicked off with Ursula. Ursula, good morning to you. Welcome to the Think and Grow Rich Mastermind by the International Mastermind Association. Ursula, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing here with us this morning.
Good morning. I am delighted to let you know that I am Ursula Odom, and I'm Sulatu's CEO. And at Sulatu, we make old, new, and everything that we do, in that we capture, preserve, and present legacy information in any form possible. We at Sulatu make sure that all that you do is not forgotten and that it matters.
Ursula, thank you so much for being with us this morning. We're going to come back to you in just a little bit as well. The next on deck is Galen Bingham. Galen, it's early, but it's the holidays, and this is Think and Grow Rich. How are you today, sir?
Fantastic, fantastic. It's never too early to talk about Think and Grow Rich. My name is Galen Bingham, the leadership strategist. I am a certified executive coach and founder of Galen Bingham Inspired Mastermind, which will be launching in January so that we can help our leaders crush their most important goals. This is a really, really exciting chapter for me. Although it's one of the smallest chapters, it definitely is one that causes me to think. And I've done a lot of thinking over the past couple of weeks, and I can't wait to have this conversation with our guest.
Elon, you're a thinker, and I'm sure you're going to allow our guest to think as well today. So thank you so much for sharing. Ann McNeil, and your presence precedes you, so but please introduce yourself if you don't mind.
Absolutely, absolutely. Ann McNeil, the master builder, helping you to build a stronger and better life by creating a blueprint for your life. And as the founder of this organization, International Mastermind Association, I'm excited also about our guest today, so I'm ready to get started.
And I am ready to get started, too, Ann. Thank you so much for sharing a little bit about yourself. As I mentioned earlier, my name is Dr. Peter James. I am the high-performance coach. I'm a business and leadership coach, which encourages and helps individuals to shift their mindset in order for them to get to their next level. So, again, I thank you so much for all of you who are listening in, joining us. Please don't hesitate to dial in. Again, that number is 661-554-9219. And in just a second, we're getting ready to go into our first commercial break, which talks about these 13 principles that Napoleon Hill has described in his infamous textbook as well. So I thank you all for listening once again. And just hold on, because we have somebody special here for you this morning. Take a listen.
Number one is desire. Napoleon Hill said that everything starts with a burning desire, a compelling reason for doing what it is we do. Step two is faith, having belief in our ability to attain that which we desire. Step three is what we call autosuggestion. Autosuggestion simply means being very intentional about the things that we are pouring into our thoughts, into our brains, and into our consciousness. Our brains, our minds, will receive everything automatically, but we have to work extra hard to make sure that the positive things are what we are feeding ourselves, because those positive thoughts are going to turn into positive actions. Step number four is specialized knowledge. No one person knows everything, even about whatever their particular area of expertise might be. And the value of the mastermind principle is using the specialized knowledge of other people. Step number five is imagination, the workshop of the mind. Everything starts with our imagination and our thoughts, the burning desire to transform those thoughts into our reality. In order to do that, we have to take a look at step six, which is organized planning. That is how we crystallize our desire into action, organizing ourselves. Having the thought and not acting on the thought isn't going to get us anywhere. We have the thought, we go through the organized planning to transform that thought into action. Step number seven is decision. What Napoleon Hill said is the mastery of procrastination. Napoleon Hill said that the antidote to procrastination is simply to make a decision and then move on that decision. Step eight is persistence. We have to have a sustained effort, which is induced by our faith, in order to achieve our goals. One of Napoleon Hill's books I love, even the title, 3 Feet from Gold. Those people who became rich during the gold rush in the Wild Wild West days didn't do that because they were necessarily smarter or had better information than anyone else. It's because they stayed just a little bit longer. Sometimes people left when they were just literally 3 feet from gold. So hanging in there, being persistent, is step number eight. Step number nine, the power of the mastermind, the driving force. None of us can accomplish anything on our own. Everybody, I don't care who you are, from the most prominent person to the person who might be considered the lowest on the totem pole, everybody has someone who helped them get to where they are. And the power of the mastermind is being able to use those influences around us. Use the thoughts, use the knowledge, use the exploration of other people to help us in achieving our goal. Step number 10, the mystery of sex transmutation. This title can be a little confusing, but essentially what the mystery of sex transmutation means is that we oftentimes in our society think of sex as being purely physical. It is absolutely physical, but what Napoleon Hill teaches us is that sex also has an emotional element, and that sex is the strongest of our desires. That if we can take our sexual energy, transform that into positive, creative influences, it can propel us to new heights. And so we spend quite a bit of time talking about the mystery of step 10, which is sex transmutation. Step number 11 is the subconscious mind, which Napoleon Hill tells us is the connecting leap between our human mind and the infinite intelligence, the source of all thought, the source of all creativity. Conscious mind, we spend some time talking about how we use that through the influence of autosuggestion and what we're feeding into our mind. Step number 12, which is the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station of thought. Final step number 13, the sixth sense, the door to the temple of wisdom. This is the final step through which infinite intelligence may and will communicate voluntarily without any effort from or demands by the individual. The principle is the apex of the philosophy. It can be assimilated, understood, and applied only by first mastering the other 12 principles.
The 13 principles as described by Napoleon Hill. Today we're going to go into principle number 12, the brain, which is a broadcasting and receiving station for thought. And who we have to discuss this with today is none other but then Dr. Kathy Woodhouse. Kathy, good morning to you. How are you today?
Good morning, Peter. I am awesome and ready to hit the road with you guys today in the realm of thought.
I love it. I love your enthusiasm. Thank you so much. You are a physician. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about your bio. I'm going to let you take it as well. But I see that you're also a commissioned core officer of the U.S. Public Health Service. You provided care to medically underserved areas across the country served in Hurricane Katrina, of course. You have a book. You invented a device for a manual wheelchair. You've done a lot of things, Kathy, so introduce yourself from what I haven't described already.
Thank you, Peter, and thank you, Ms. Ursula, Galen, Ms. Ann, and all the listeners here today for having me. I am just so excited about this awesome time that we're going to meld our minds together this morning, so I'll try to be brief. I talk a lot, but I really want to be able to dive into this chapter as soon as possible because it's short, but it's chock full of greatness. But just so you know who I am, I was born in Ohio. I am an only child of two amazing parents. And I grew up and traveled around basically as an army brat, right? And people say, oh, you know, you're a doctor, you're this, you're that. But I was a normal kid, right? I ate Play-Doh, right? I watched cartoons and enjoyed eating three squares a day. But I was an avid reader. And I loved to learn. I did pretty well in school. So it's kind of a funny story. When it came time to think about what I wanted to do, I thought to myself, well, yeah, medicine would be cool. And it was hilarious because when I got into medical school and actual real patients started coughing and hacking and bleeding on me, I was like, oh, this involves sick people. Oh, but I think I grew into it. So it was just, you know, an intellectual exercise that became very real very quickly.
Wow, wow.
But, but you know, no one had any money for medical school, so I became a commissioned officer in the United States Public Health Service. And a lot of your listeners may not know about it, but it's a uniformed service of the federal government that provides medical care to underserved people. So in exchange for an education in medical school and residency, I spent 8 years crisscrossing the country as an internist, okay, and a pediatrician to people who, you know, couldn't get health care, places that couldn't attract or even pay for a physician. I worked in a community project a project community in Tampa, Florida, on an Indian reservation in Arizona, in Virginia, in Tennessee. But let me tell you guys, something happened that altered my life forever and got me face-to-face with Think and Grow Rich, and that's this. 12 years ago, I burned out, utterly burned out. After years of doing underserved medicine, I was tired, okay? A lot involved taking care of people who don't have resources, okay? And then my last duty station required additional hospital work. So for 7 days straight each month, I'd leave the house at 4 a.m., see all the adult inpatients, see all the pediatric inpatients, see all the newborns in the nursery, go to work, did a 12-hour day in the clinic, went home, took call all night long for all the adults, all the children in the practice, and from the ER. So basically, guys, I got no sleep for 7 days straight each month. Then it would take me a whole week to recover. So for 2 weeks every month, I was toast. So, Peter, after a whole year of working like this, I got sick. I started having chest pains, headaches. Literally, y'all, I would lock myself in the bathroom every day and weep in despair. And then one day I couldn't work anymore. Okay? I finished my active duty obligations, surrendered my commission. I didn't have any plans. I was too exhausted to think straight. I couldn't interview for another job. I had nothing left. Okay? And maybe some of you readers or listeners out there that have JOBs that are not just entrepreneurs yet, but you still have JOBs, you might understand what I'm talking about. And it turns out I was technically homeless because I had to vacate my apartment, but I didn't have a job. I had nowhere to go. So I did the only thing that an unemployed and an unemployable 38-year-old grown person could do. I moved back home. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I'm telling you guys, my story is not unusual. Last year, 58% of physicians reported burnout. Think about that. That means that every other doctor you might meet is probably suffering physically, emotionally. And what does that do to the quality of your care when you get sick? Okay? And get this, it gets even worse because women physicians in particular, women physicians are now committing suicide at up to 4 times the national average. Okay? So we have a problem in our healthcare system. But, you know, I know everyone can identify with this because sometimes isn't it true that the worst things that happen to us can become the best things that happen to us? Right? If we're able to flip it around and use it, especially if it's not just helping you but helping someone else, you know?
Yeah.
But I've got to tell you, this story has a happy ending, and let me share with you how it involved the brain. So I'm home, you know, in a fetal position on the couch, and my mom and dad loved me. They sheltered me. They fed me. And 2 months later, I was finally able to interview. I ended up becoming a contractor because I knew that full-time medical practice would throw me back into burnout. So I wasn't making a doctor's salary, but here's the difference. I could control my work schedule. And because I wasn't working 100-plus hours a week, I had a little more time to think. Remember, we're talking about thinking today, okay? And over the next decade, I took this internal journey, and I rediscovered who I was as a person, not a damaged person, not a burned-out person, but a rich person, a vibrant and gifted person, the person I was before the world got a hold of me. And let me just make sure you hear me. Every single one of us on this call today is gifted, right? So let me ask you, who are you? And what have you been given to share with the world? And are you bringing to the table all of your gifts? Are you leaving any untouched? So we're turning a corner.
Yeah.
Because in last year, I started toying with the idea of speaking. I joined Toastmasters, joined my local NSA chapter, took a course on launching a speaking business, took a comedy class in February this year. I mean, can anybody relate to just being busy doing but not really making any progress? Right? And that was me.
I love it.
We're busy. We're busy. We'll talk about that. And in March, serendipitously, I had to go on a trip for work, okay, a long road trip. And I went to the local library and I grabbed an audiobook. I said, hey, I need something to listen to. And it was by a man, this audiobook, named Bob Proctor. You guys know who Bob Proctor is?
Yes.
You know, many of you may, many of you may be familiar with him. And the audiobook, and I highly recommend it, is called It's Not About the Money. It is about the money. We don't focus on the money, right? We focus on laws, principles, and money comes, right? But Bob Proctor just happens to be a Think and Grow Rich disciple. And when those principles hit my ears, y'all, I'm telling you, this switch flipped on in my brain, okay? And right then, I made a decision to become a professional speaker. And that's when things started to roll. I attended the NSA conference called Influence. This first time in July. It blew my mind, okay? got introduced to Black NSA, had my first Black NSA phenomenal mastermind experience this August where we read Think and Grow Rich. And that's when the world that I knew, y'all, exploded. I am not the same person I was 3 months ago.
Let's stay right there, Kathy. So that's where Think and Grow Rich came into your life, right there. Where I'm sorry, just so fascinated and taken by your story. I just had to listen and sit here and listen as well. But that's where Think and Grow Rich, was actually one of my questions. When did really Think and Grow Rich, was it introduced into your life? And it sounds like that was the pinnacle moment in your life.
Yes, sir. And I'll tell you, I read Think and Grow Rich. I know we got a break, but I read Think and Grow Rich 10 years ago. It didn't affect me. It didn't change me. Why? Because I wasn't ready. We have to be hungry, right? Ask, seek, you know, knock. We've got to be in that position in order to receive. I wasn't ready to receive Think and Grow Rich 10 years ago. Oh, but now? Oh, yeah. Okay? So
yeah.
I can't wait to talk more about this phenomenal book and these brains of ours.
Yeah, we're getting ready to dive in. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. I'm fascinated by your story. I had to sit here and be quiet and just listen. I was actually on the journey with you from your childhood through your service to becoming a physician, and I'm just taken to your journey. Now, I will tell you, every one of us has a journey in life, and you've been so gracious enough to share yours with us as well. We're going to take a quick commercial break and come back as our distinguished co-hosts are getting ready to dive into your story as it relates to the brain, chapter 12 of this infamous text. So thank you so much, and give us just a second. We will be right back.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
And yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Think and Grow Rich Mastermind. We are going over Chapter 12 of Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill's authentic book about how you can take your life to the next level. If you are listening in and you have a question for Dr. Kathy, the number is 661-554-9219. And make sure to press number 1 if you would like to ask that question. As I had mentioned earlier there, Kathy, we have some distinguished co-hosts here, Galen, Ann, and Ursula, and they have some phenomenal questions for you. I feel them chomping at the bit. And I'm going to ask Ann to be the first person to, Miss Ann, to be the first person to ask a question today as well. Miss Ann, good morning again to you. And you have the floor with Kathy.
Oh, Peter, you are the best. That's an inside joke, everybody. Kathy, this is an amazing experience, and I know that our listeners would love to know a little bit more about how do you really apply this principle about the brain. And it's a different kind of question, because we talked earlier before the show started about the fact that this is one of the shortest chapters in all of the principles in this book, Think and Grow Rich. But it is so meaty. It is so powerful. It is so full. You could really live in this chapter if you allow the chapter to live inside of you in terms of really doing some personal introspection. So my question to you is, can you share with us from your medical experience in how you use this principle, the brain, in your daily interactions and overcoming challenges and situations in your life.
That is an amazing question. I love the way that you phrase that in the sense of my medical practice. Specifically, I think a lot of us who have been doing whatever job we're doing for about 20 years, right? The book talks about, you don't attain mastery, right, until you're in your 40s or 50s, and you've been doing this enough, a lot of times. So the practice of medicine has become very automatic. We have a lot of algorithms that we're supposed to follow. So to be perfectly frank with you, after 20 years of practice, reading Think and Grow Rich has broken me of that and just made me respect thought by itself rather than rote practice. You know what I mean? I mean, we just get so used to doing the same things over and over again, but this chapter encourages us to use our brains in a new way. And I have to share that I've discovered that thinking, because I sometimes I don't feel like I think the same way in my job. We think to solve a clinical problem. But this is different. This is on a different plane that we're being asked to do when thinking we're rich. So let me share this. Thinking is the means by which we cooperate with the power available for manifestation. And I want to say it again. Thinking is the means by which we cooperate with the power available for manifestation. And I think this chapter on the brain just celebrates the primacy of thought from the beginning, okay, to the end. You know, on page 9, the original version, Restored and Revised, it says, truly thoughts are things. On page 20, it says, when poet William Ernest Henley wrote the prophetic lines, I'm the master of my fate, I'm the captain of my soul. He should have informed us that we are the masters of our fate, the captains of our souls, because we have the power to control our thoughts. This is new for me. I mean, this book is titled Think and Grow Rich, not Do and Grow Rich, right? We're so addicted to making stuff happen on our own. As a physician, I'm like, okay, I've got to do this, and that will get us to the desired physical end. You know, we're excellent doers, right? All of us that are professionals in what we do in our craft. But what we all have to practice anew is being manifestors, which starts by being receivers. Because of thought, and here's the takeaway for me, because of the power of thought, there is now no division between the physical and the spiritual. It's all one. And I think that's why Napoleon Hill could say, which I believe is the most astounding statement in the entire book, he said on page 104, riches when they come are not typically the result of hard work. Okay? As a physician, I work hard all day long. Okay? And we do expend energy when it comes to meeting our desires. But it's not an anxious striving. It's not a, oh my gosh, I've got to make sure I get an MRI. Oh, I got to make sure I do this, otherwise I'll get sued. This is a relaxed and confident state of being in the world and moving in the world because of the positivity, the depth, the quality, the alignment of our thoughts with infinite intelligence, which is the source of all power and with other like minds. So I really, really think that this power of thought is so transformative. It's been that for me. There's no division between the physical and spiritual.
Is there a particular time that you set aside to think?
Yes. One of the things that has been, I cannot begin to tell you guys. Remember earlier in the book, I'm trying to scroll to remember where that is. But when he's talking about our self-confidence formula, yeah? And he recommends that we set aside 30 minutes a day to creatively imagine the person that we intend to become. And I'm telling you, doing that every day, investing that time, is one of the singular most powerful experiences I've ever had in my entire life. It has changed my personal prayer time. But I'm literally flying, y'all. I am flying in the air. I am suspended above the Grand Canyon with these orbs, these golden orbs, which represent the different projects in my life, and I'm manipulating them in space. okay, opening up them up, shutting them. It has been, I've gotten downloads I've never had before. So this is more than meditation. It's more than prayer. It's a combination of both. And it's just been an open door, a gateway for infinite intelligence. I believe it's God, but infinite intelligence to come forth and just show me who I am.
Good.
On page, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say good stuff. Good stuff there, Kathy. I think our other guests have some more questions. Anne, are you complete with all your
I'm
questions
done.
For
I'm
Kathy?
Done. I listen,
like...
I've written down so many notes. I'm done. Thanks.
I'm sorry about that, Anne. So, yeah, thank you so much, Kathy. Actually, you made me think a little bit. It's funny. You made me think about Think and Grow Rich. And you're so right when you mentioned about the doers thing. The doers thing is so important to recognize, because you're right, especially in our American society, we are so focused on doing. And before we go to Ursula, we need to do more of thinking. Thinking is really what's going to be the recipe to get us to where we need to get to, the visualization of it all, the reflection of it all, and then actually the engaging and enacting of what we are thinking as well. So thank you so much for sharing that, Kathy. Ursula, I know you have some phenomenal questions for Kathy. Kathy, you got some phenomenal answers for Ursula. So Ursula, you have the floor.
Well, I'm going to be a renegade, because all of the things that she's talked about so far has just had my thinking about all kinds of different things. But what I want to ask you about, prompted by some things that you said, is page 221, where it talks about the greatest forces are intangible. And the reason that I went there is because you mentioned I'm flying. And it reminded me of a conversation I had with someone that I trust, I mean some relatives, and they were talking about the fact that, do you know you can fly in your sleep? I said, right. And they started explaining that you can control your ability to fly when you're asleep. And I thought they were absolutely nuts, okay? And that night, I tell you not, I actually had the sensation of flying in my sleep. And first, it scared me, because that was a powerful thing to have someone be able to do, is influence what I thought when I was asleep. And then to experience that. So it brings in the question, all of these things about the greatest forces are intangible. The force of suggestion, the force of the wind. What are your thoughts about that?
I think that, you know, it reminds me of, you mentioned page 223. If we take a couple steps back, page 221, the quote is, perhaps we shall learn as we progress through this age that the other self is more powerful than the physical self we see when we look in a mirror, okay? There is a whole network of spiritual energy that permeates every molecule, right? And I picture it as a net. I literally can kind of sometimes see this, like, blue net of energy all around us. And there is a plane, basically, that we cannot see. We cannot feel it or touch it necessarily, but it's there. And so I think that, remember, it also talked about, later on, it talked about, you know, we have these amazing brains, right? We have, page 223, we got this network of equipment. Can't just maintain the physical body, right? And, you know, we've got billions of brain cells that talk to each other. Can't we communicate with other intangible forces? And then is that interaction between our brain, that's the gateway, right, to interact with this physical, this intangible network, this net of energy. You know, and as a physician, I can tell you that everything we need to stay alive is located way actually below our brain. It's called the brainstem. That's where our breathing resides. That's where our heartbeat center resides. But what is the rest of this thing for? What an amazing concept. So to your point, Ms. Ursula, I really think that our brains are designed to do exactly just what you mentioned. to tap into that network.
There's
to tap
actually
into that world that we can't see.
There's a follow-on that I have, because before the show you said we may possibly be related. Well, I have a theory that I joke about a lot about DNA. And I say, you know, it might be possible that we end up marrying people that we were related to because our DNA recognized that person and we didn't. So subconsciously, maybe we are attracted to people that look like us, or that is it possible, just like some animals, they can recognize the people of the same species? Maybe it's within our DNA. Somewhere in there, there's some invisible thing that helps us understand that we're related to a person. And I know that's kind of out there, but I don't have too many times that I can talk to a physician and a person that has a connection to the spiritual wonder of the brain. So does that trigger any thought with you, the biology and the spiritual connection?
I don't disagree, and I think it's an amazing thought. I personally don't have any data to present that would show that, but I think that we do know, it's kind of an interesting thing, it doesn't diminish us in any way, that the DNA sequences between species are actually pretty similar, except for some areas. For instance, we share, I don't know the exact number, but we share like 80% or 90% homology DNA-wise with a potato. I mean, so God is nothing but efficient. But, you know, but again, we're obviously more than that. So we're more than our DNA. We're more than our DNA. And I really do believe that as men, that we have the divine spark. We have that divine breath. We have that ruah. We are made in the image of our creator. So we are supposed to do the things that created beings in this image are supposed to do. And that's one of the reasons the great teacher from Galilee constantly upbraided his people. He was like, why can't y'all be feeding these 5,000 people? You should be able to do it by now. I got to do this again? What's wrong with you? Okay? You should be here by now. You know, all these things I'm doing, you should be doing more than that. He wasn't talking about statistically, numerically. He was talking about quality. Okay? So I really do believe that these amazing brains of ours are that gateway to that, the gateway to that place that you experience. And so, again, I'm not sure about the DNA and how that relates, but I do know that it's a spiritual issue, and our minds are able to connect with that. And that's what we should foster.
Thank you.
Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. Great questions, Ursula, yeah,
absolutely.
Since you were asking medical questions, Dr. Kathy, I have this ache in my back, and I was hoping you can help address it. I'm just joking here real quick, so I don't have that question for you. Thank you. I know that was my funny for the day. So, yeah, thank you so much for those questions, Ursula. Very insightful. Had me thinking on some things as well. Had me thinking more about this Think and Grow Rich, and, of course, Kathy, your story as well. Galen, you are on deck. Galen, I know I've reserved you for the last, and know you have the best questions, so the floor is yours, sir.
You know, I don't know about the best question because the conversation has been so riveting so far, and I really just want to build off of the conversation you were having with Ms. Ursula, because there are so many things that we know that the brain controls within our body. You know, if we want to do something physically, we know that our brain has a hand in allowing us to do those things physically. But yet there's so much about the brain that we don't understand. So do you have is there a simple process or a simplistic process for understanding the brain, both those things that we know about, as well as those things, as you were talking about earlier, that are unseen, those things that we don't physically see moving, but we know that we're influencing somehow. Is there an easy way to kind of understand how the brain works?
Yeah, I think to your point, you know, where to start? We can measure a lot of stuff as scientists with the brain. The book even talks about it. This book was written in the 30s, and they were measuring action potentials, right? The electrical signals that come off of the brain. It's like an EKG records the electrical signals coming through your chest wall. They have this EEG thing, right? They put the little things on your electrodes on your brain. It measures the electricity, right? It measures the brainwave patterns. We can put someone in an MRI machine, okay? It's called functional MRI, and we can look at the places in the brain that light up when someone's thinking about someone, something, when someone's trying to do a thought transference experiment, and they're just at rest. We can convert those MRI signals and put them in an artificial intelligence program, okay? Convert those data points into ones and zeros and come up with basically a brain footprint, a fingerprint that actually is different for every single person on the planet. We have the intersection between technology and the brain, but we still don't understand how it works. And so we don't understand, well, how does this thing function? We can measure things about it, but we really don't know how it works. And then sometimes we have a phenomenon that we can't measure. I was reading not too long ago, there was an MRI study, a functional MRI study, where they had people literally who claimed to be clairvoyant. And they were doing their clairvoyant thing. They had them in the MRI scanner, and they didn't see anything light up. Nothing out of the ordinary. Just normal, okay, well, thoughts are going from one part of the brain to the other, but nothing like, oh, my gosh, there's something super abnormal about this. And they concluded, just because they couldn't measure it, that this phenomenon didn't exist. This parapsychological phenomenon of one brain talking to another didn't exist. And we know that's not true, right? We know that, hey, how many times has this happened to you? You're thinking about a person and they call. You're thinking about a person and they show up in your office. Okay? So just because we can't measure it doesn't mean it's not there, and there's so many things we don't know. So that's why I think, just looping back around, Napoleon Hill's thoughts about this, how the brain works from a energy transfer standpoint, is so powerful because the science hasn't caught up yet. So, you know, how does the brain work? You know, how can we conceive of it? And I'll just share this with you guys. I don't know if this will be helpful for anybody, but I'm a foodie. I love food. So I think of the brain like a Hostess snowball. Do you remember the Hostess snowballs? You know,
absolutely.
It's this little cupcake. Thank you. A devotee, okay? It's a round cupcake. It's shaped like a dome. Has coconut on top. Then it has a white marshmallow layer and then a deep, wonderful chocolate cake in the center. And do you remember that the coconut layer would be in different colors? You know, it was pink, but then they would change the colors to fit the season. So green for St. Patty's Day, it would be orange or black for Halloween. You remember that? So using that analogy, the coconut layer is your creative imagination, which receives input from infinite intelligence, your subconscious, the conscious, the subconscious minds of others. I love that explanation you give, okay? That coconut layer, that creative imagination is colorful, dynamic, it's moving. Everything's changing because it has to be stepped up to receive those messages, right? Those mind stimulants he talked about on page 192, sex, love, desire, music, friendship, suffering, okay? And those positive emotions on page 215, negative emotions beyond that. And then the white marshmallow layer is your subconscious mind, which feeds those stepped up thoughts with emotions to your subconscious, which is that deep, rich chocolate cake, that yummy cake, okay? And then that subconscious mind sends the thought. So it can, through the stepped up process of emotion mixed with auto-suggestion, broadcast thoughts, which by natural law cause manifestation, okay? Manifestation which goes beyond your mind into the physical world, okay? Which I like to say chocolate is just so wonderful because it can accomplish so many things, I'm just saying, okay? So I love, even as a physician, I love that model of the brain because there's a lot that we really don't understand. And not only that, I know we have to go to break, but not only that, we have an advantage to what's coming out in virtual reality and artificial intelligence. We can talk about that perhaps when we come back. So this model actually is functional. It's utilizable. It's practical. We don't have to understand how the brain cells talk to one another. We just know they do. So how can we use that to manifest our desires? And I think Napoleon Hill hit it right on the head. The science is going to have to catch up.
Fantastic, fantastic. I mean, it really is intriguing to consider that this one piece of tissue or muscle or whatever it physically is allows us to analyze and calculate things that we can measure. And then at the same time, it allows us to imagine and believe things that we can't measure. And I think so often we put so much more stock into those things that are measurable, and faith takes a hit. And at a certain point, you've just got to believe. You can't measure everything. You've just got to believe that this works because it has and because it does. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is so awesome.
Awesome questions, Galen. Kathy, you're right. We definitely have to go on a commercial break. But when we come back, we want to finish our chat with you a little bit. We want to talk about the Think and Grow Rich annual accountability meeting. And we're going to go back to our co-host and have them close us out a little bit. So take a listen to this commercial break.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
And yes, we are back. If you have not purchased this phenomenal book, Think and Grow Rich, I highly encourage you to do so. It is a great stocking stuffer. It is a great New Year's gift as well. And that being said, we have a phenomenal event that is taking place at the beginning of January. I'm going to ask Ms. Ann to jump on in and talk a little bit about this Think and Grow Rich annual accountability meeting, which begins very, very soon, which I'm actually, all of us are going to be there. All of our co-hosts are going to be there. Looking forward to seeing you all there as well. But Ms. Ann, do this event justice.
Well, I think that the commercial that we have created may do a better job than I could possibly do with giving all the details, but I'll do my very best to just ask each of our listeners this question. Where do you go to be held accountable for your dreams, your hopes, your aspirations, your desires in writing? Where do you go to give an account for your accomplishments for this year in every area of your life in writing? Where do you go to give an account for your goals for the next 6 months, the next year? How about 5 years? How about 10 years? How about the next 20 years? Where do you go to give an account for those written goals in writing? Last night, I had the pleasure of spending a couple of hours with a group of women who started masterminding with me in 1990 all the way through the 90s into the 2000s. And we were celebrating, some of us last night, 10, 20, 30, 40 years of being together as a group of 10 women. It was phenomenal because now many of us, some of them are now in their 80s and some are in their 70s. Some came when they had just finished college, and now 20, 30, 40 years later, we sat around and talked and reminisced about the goals that we had written back then, and we're living it. And it was so surreal. And I share this story because we have the opportunity, each and every one of us, to do the exact same thing in writing. That's what the annual accountability is about. Galen and I were sharing before this program started about the experience he's having as he now will be joining us for the very first time. And I said to Galen, I said, you know, the experience is not on the day you show up. It is the work that we do before we come. Now, I just asked Kathy about what time do you think? And I want to ask each of us who are listening to this podcast, no matter what point of the year, what time do you have an appointment with yourself? On a daily, weekly, monthly, or an annual basis to do nothing but sit down at an appointed time with pen and paper and just think? Forget about going rich, but just think. Think about where you've been, where you are, where you're going, and reduce it to writing. This is what the annual accountability for your life is about on January the 4th at the Embassy Suites at Boca Raton. It's not so much about what you're going to do that day. It is the journey to the day. And I asked someone the question yesterday, what if you had to go before a tribunal? I'm going to be the tribunal chief, just imagine. Ann McNeil, I am the tribunal chief. Just imagine if you had to come before the tribunal chief and give an account for your last 365 days and what you did with each day. And the tribunal chief, along with the tribe, would determine if you got to go into the next year to get another 365 days based upon what you did with the last 365 days. And if you did not do what you said you were going to do, why should you be blessed with another 365 days? So I'm going on a bit because I'm very emotional and I'm very passionate about this, because each and every breath we take for granted we're going to take the next. Each and every day we live, we take for granted we're going to have the next day. But what if you don't wake up? What did you do? Where is it written? What will you leave? So, Peter, I think it's a good time to go to that commercial, Ursula, and have the details shared with our listeners. But those are my thoughts.
Are you having problems adhering to your goals? Is your life coming to a standstill because of procrastination and failure to meet deadlines? You can change that by attending the International Mastermind Association Annual Accountability Meeting on January 4th of 2020. Our meeting will enlighten you and help you grow rich. Commence your year with an effective blueprint developed with accountability expert Ann McNeil. Attend this meeting and transform your life by listening to her teachings on changing your thinking and growing rich. Our annual meeting gives you a chance to reestablish your purpose and focus on your goals. Get renewed and inspired by attending this meeting at the Embassy Suites in Boca Raton from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Purpose to attend and learn to develop a successful and effective blueprint of success in thinking and growing rich. Do not come alone. Tag along with family and friends. Simply register at www.internationalmasterminders.com/events. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Don't forget to follow our page and post your questions or comments.
And yes, I highly encourage you all to come to Boca Raton the first Saturday in January to this very special event, which is, to me, the best way to begin your new year. I'm not into resolutions. I'm not into, you know, shifting my whole life for just one day of the year. I'm actually, in my mindset, I think every day is a gift and every day should be a renewed setting of what we intend on accomplishing and the goals that we intend on accomplishing. And because we can't go back and change yesterday. But that's my little high horse there. Let me go back to my co-host and actually ask them about some ahas. And then I'm at the very end, I'm going to ask our special guest, Dr. Kathy, there to kind of take us home a little bit. But our co-host, tell us a little bit about your ahas from today's show. And then also be sure to let our audience know how they can get in touch with you moving forward. Let's start off with Ursula. Ursula, how tell us about some ahas that you may have relative to today's show and how our audience can get in touch with you.
Oh, there are a couple of things that I will take away and probably pursue a little bit further as well. When she talked about how the brain works in response to Galen's question, that was fascinating to me in terms of the fact that they can measure those impulses. And hearing that now in the context of what we're talking about, it has some relevance. You know, you've heard that before, but it didn't mean anything. But now it means something. Something is going back and forth that speaks to the whole mastermind process and things being in taking action. The other thing I was thinking about is that when she was saying that you just have to believe in something, one of the things I've always said when people say that there's a debate between science and spirituality, my comeback was always, I think that science is a subset of God, and that if you can't explain to me where the Big Bang came from, then you can't explain to me what is or is not possible. And to hear her say that science is acknowledging that they don't understand how all of this is possible, it to me, if we just accept that all of this works together for the good of our existence on this earth and to serve in the way that we should, it just makes sense to me when you put these things together. So that's where I am right now. I don't know how coherent that was, but that's where I am.
Ursula, how can our audience get in touch with you?
Oh, well, you can reach me at Sulatoo, that's SULATOO.com. And my telephone number is 813-368-1628. And I will help you capture and preserve your story as well, because what we do matters to you and to other people, and I want to be a part of that process. I love hearing your stories, and I love helping you share them. Sulatoo.com. Thank you, Peter.
All right. Awesome stuff there, Ursula. Galen, I got you next on deck. Galen, tell us a little bit about your ahas relative to our discussion about the brain with Dr. Kathy here, but then also let us know how we can get in touch with you, sir.
Absolutely. This has been a fascinating conversation. I have always thought of the brain as being my housing place for knowledge, and I've always broken knowledge down into two categories, the things that I know, and the things that I know that I don't know, and that's where I need to study. But this conversation really highlights to me that there is some information that I know, and I don't know how I know it, right? It's just there. There's been no formula, there's been no experience, but I know that this exists. I know that this will work. I see it clearly, and there is no concrete foundational reason to know that it exists. And rather than seeing that and viewing that as being just my imagination running away with me again, I should put more concrete confidence in that being real, just as real as something that I can calculate and measure, and got that from this conversation. It's been so helpful to my spirit, to my soul. The way that you can get a hold of me is www.galenbingham.com, or you can go out to Eventbrite and look for Galen Bingham Inspired Mastermind. We are launching our next 10-week mastermind program January 21st, and would love for everyone to be a part of that. I love helping leaders crush their most important goals.
Awesome, awesome stuff. Miss Ann, such a phenomenal conversation today, such a great insight. What was your biggest takeaway about this brain, about Dr. Kathy? And don't forget to share how we can get in touch with you, please.
Well, I took so many notes. I'm literally looking at pages. Kathy did a phenomenal job as a researcher, and I'm going to call you a scientist on the brain, because word upon word, line upon line, precept upon precept, you gave us page numbers. You made the point. You told the story. You told the story. You made the point. And one of the highlights for me that you mentioned, actually from what we've already known, is that Think and Grow Rich, not doing and grow rich. Think and grow rich, not doing and grow rich. That was powerful for me. Because, and that's what resonated with me when I made my comments afterwards about the time to think. So often we are busy doing this, doing that. And like you said, you know, we think if we run faster and harder, we'll get there quicker, but not necessarily if you don't think, because you could be running fast in the wrong direction. So that was really my aha out of everything that I wrote this morning. How people can reach me is by going to annmcneill.com. That's M-C-N-E-I-L-L, annmcneill.com. And I help people create a blueprint for your life to have a better quality of life. And so, Peter, you've done a phenomenal job, all of the co-hosts, and every week we tend to say the same thing. This was the best show. All right, thank you.
It is, actually. Thank you so much. And, you know, and you stole my thunder there. I am a big proponent, actually, historically, I'm a doer. You know, from it was modeled to me growing up. I was in the military. I'm just an action-oriented type of individual. I feel like I got to do. But this conversation today, Kathy, allowed me to take a step back and reflect on, you know, the doing is not where the magic happens. It's not where the outcomes come. It's in the thinking. It's in the what's going on in your brain. And as I reflect here on the text, there's a sentence here on page 225 that says, all individuals have become what they are because of their dominating thoughts and desires, And this just allowed me to reintroduce that framework back into my brain, to slow down with my doing, but ramp up more of my thinking, more of my reflection, maybe even a little bit more of my planning and my strategy as well. And so that was that really resonated with me today more than ever. Again, my name is Dr. Peter James. The way that you can get in touch with me, I'm on all social media platforms at Dr. Peter A. James. That's at DrPeterAJames, all one word. Kathy, I would be remiss if I didn't give the floor back to you. Maybe some of your biggest takeaways, some of the things that you would like our audience to take away about you, and definitely let us know some of the projects that you're working on and how our audience can get in touch with you.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, everyone. And I just wanted to leave you all just with one more thought, and that's the future on the science of thought, because you guys are going to hear about virtual reality, artificial intelligence, the computer to the human brain interface. And I just want to encourage everyone, even as this technology advances, we don't have to wait years for that stuff to come in from the lab into our living rooms. And we don't have to spend a dime. Earl Nightingale said, But the most precious things we human beings possess are free. You and I, who follow this philosophy, have everything that we need and more today to connect our minds to infinite intelligence and to one another. We did it on this call. We can create our own reality, not a program that's virtual reality. But we've got these magnificent kingdoms of thought. We're totally successful in these kingdoms, these endeavors of our hearts. And best of all, virtual reality can become our true reality. So please do the exercises, curate your thoughts during the day, do the logical brain stuff, brain health stuff, eat, sleep, eat healthy food, hydrate. And if you want to reach me, I'm on LinkedIn. Connect with me on LinkedIn, Catherine Woodhouse. And I'll just say that one of the big reasons I'm here on the planet is to help other clinicians become whole, to not go through what I did and have big chunks of their lives fall off. So I created a program called Conform to Yourself that helps clinicians who are stressed out craft work that fits who they are and what they want. And so you can reach me at the website too. It's www.conformtoyourself. That's conform, the letter two, the word yourself, all one word, .com. Okay? So let's use our brains consistency. Let's use them well. And thanks again for having me. I had a lot of fun.
Kathy, you have been a phenomenal guest on this next edition, this edition of Think and Grow Rich Mastermind. Thank you for sharing how we can get in touch with you, and thank you for sharing what you're doing for our physicians out there and for society just overall. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes another phenomenal edition of the Think and Grow Rich Mastermind. We've had a great conversation today. I look forward to seeing you all in the first Saturday of January in Boca Raton, warm and beautiful Boca Raton, Florida. And my final thoughts, if you have not, once again, if you have not picked up Think and Grow Rich for yourself or for your loved ones and friends, this is a good opportunity to pick up this phenomenal writing, and it makes a great gift. It makes a great stocking stuffer. And without further ado, happy holidays, Merry Christmas to all of you, and I look forward to seeing you next week, Saturday, same place and same time.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.